Well, I'm going to start out with a scripture. Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. I'm going to start out with a scripture here before we have a testimony. And that scripture is from Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. If you have your Bible there, turn it to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And this vision was given to John, the Apostle John, when he was on the Isle of Patmos. You know, the book of Revelation is about the end time events of the tribulation and the coming, the second coming of Jesus, the day of the Lord. And so in Revelation 12, I'm going to start in verse 10. It says, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down." Well, this is a picture of the devil being cast down from heaven. He is the accuser of the brethren. And then in verse 11, it says, "They overcame him," that is, they overcame the accuser, "by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even to the death." And so they overcame the accuser by the blood of the Lamb. That's the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed for us on the cross. And by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. So you can see God values our testimony. Jesus values our testimony. He places it on a par or equal with the blood of Jesus. And so that is because when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you give witness, you give honor to the Lord, what he's done in your life. And that testimony is very powerful then in overcoming the accuser who wants to destroy you and who wants to take you out. And so the power of testimony is a very powerful thing. You've heard my testimony. Many of you, you know that I came out of the drug addiction, the drug world, alcohol, and all that craziness, and even to the point of death. And so I have a testimony also, but I'm not going to share that today. I want to introduce to you today my brother from Mumias, Kenya. And he is a brother in the faith, and he's also my Boda driver and my counselor here. He takes care of me in this town of Mumias that I live in. And his name is Zephaniah Alwanga. And so I'm going to ask Zephaniah to say hi to you out there in the listening audience.
Hi, guys. I'm happy to talk to you today. Thank you, because my brother, he has welcomed me in the media program. And I'm happy for you guys for the great work you are doing. I really appreciate, and I just say God to bless you. And I and Jimmy, we are brothers of same feather. We flock together. We all do the work of ministry. We support each other. We pray to each other. We love each other. And more so, we love the people of God. And for sure, we as we do the ministry of evangelical, we love to have a testimony, and we love those people who have testimony. Thank you.
Okay, Zephaniah, so you told me one time that you were raised up in a Christian family, that your father was a pastor or an elder in the church. You want to tell me just a little bit about your upbringing in that family?
Okay, I remember it was earlier when I was being born, some other things. We were very small in other ways, and my mother and my father, they were both Christian. But we reached a time whereby we used to go to church at that moment, and after a while, I came up and changed that mood of going to church, because we had some discouragement on the way, and I was they found me while I was a baby Christian. So as the scripture said, I think the work of Satan for sure it is to accuse the Christian. So when they found, the devil founded me, he struck me on the way while I was a baby Christian, but he struck me and I went back from Christianity.
Okay, so how old were you when you dropped away from the faith and you started to live a life of rebellion towards God?
Okay, I remember very well during that time, I was 14 years old. when my education was not moving well, and I had a peer group who was my great supporter. I was 14 years that time when I backslided from Christianity.
Okay, so would you describe to the listeners out here what exactly happened, how you backslid, how you fell away from the grace of God, and what happened to your life after that, that was a dark period in your life?
Okay, by that time, I was so comfortable with it because I was living in darkness, and because of my friends, I had so many friends there. So we used to take some alcohol and some drugs because we that peer group, so that we can keep ourselves together. And I came up and starting join a bad group where we were using to train and to hug people. So that time it was comfortable for me by that time, but it came a time now when Jesus now started to reveal himself by showing me that what I was doing is bad. Because I used to find myself after some couple of years, while we do something wrong to a person, I feel like remorseful. I feel like we have done wrong things. So I started now to doing counseling, guiding my fellow guys whom I used to be with, and I started now to become the enemy. That's when I knew now that I need to follow the right route.
Okay, you have told me that you actually fell into the religion of Islam for a while. We have, maybe the people don't know, but we're in an area of Kenya that there's lots of Muslims here, and so you fell in with some Muslims and actually started to worship Islam or to practice Islam for a while. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, of course, I'm going to tell you because when I backslided, it was in 14 years old. And then I survived outside for 2 years without any religion. Then after those 2 years, I met new friends who used to be Muslims. And then they showed me a way on how I can go to the Muslim religion. And then I joined them. I used to go with them in mosque. We started now being together, having those drugs together, smoke together. And so our friendship led us directly to the mosque. So I found myself worshiping as them, doing like them, encouraging. I was looking like them for sure. And I was crazy than I am because it was very bad by that time. Because if you could come with anything from the outside the religion of Muslim that time, I couldn't allow you and I couldn't listen to you because in my heart, I knew the truth. I knew whom Jesus was. But now, because I wanted to satisfy myself by that time and to satisfy my friends and to make me comfortable by during that time, I used to act as a Muslim and I was a very serious Muslim guy.
Okay, in this region of Kenya and probably all across Africa, Islam and witchcraft are intertwined. There's a lot of interdependency and intertwining between witchcraft and Islam. Can you tell us just a little bit about what you saw in the way of witchcraft that affected you and may have led you farther into the darkness?
Oh, yeah. This is what happened because this is the reason why I ran out from Christianity because my dad, as he was a pastor to Christian church, he came up. Some people they did they poisoned him while he was eating during his promotion because he started earlier as a youth a Sunday school pastor, and then he grew to another level. He became a second pastor, the small pastor whom we were reporting to while in case of the main pastor is not around. And then majorly he went to school and he became overseer, and then God lifted him to become overseer. So during the ceremony of celebration for that occasion is when people decided to poison my dad. So after poisoning and our life turned around, everything went wrong. So we decided now, I personally, I ran from Christianity because I saw them like they are wrong people. But the truth is, when I ran from them and I joined the Muslim, I joined the Muslim because I felt that they are now, the people who are doing the real thing, because in Christianity we were saying we have no witchcraft, we have no people with bad hearts, it's a place to rest. But that's where my dad met a problem. So it gives me some more reason why to join the Muslims. And when I decided to join the Muslim, I used to see it too. In fact, it used to be more worse because it was worse than I saw. So for really, witchcraft is in Africa, and many people are acting in witchcraft, many people are playing witchcraft, and many people, they are comfortable in that life, but they know the truth.
Let me have you give just a short description of how witchcraft operates here in Africa, how it manifests itself, how do they operate to destroy people, to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so what have you seen in witchcraft that destroys people and kills them?
Oh, yes, I'm happy, Mr. Jim, for that nice question. And I believe from now, the explanation I can make is that that's the reason why God says that we should rejoice always. It means we have some spears that comes across, and when they find you weak, is when you run. Maybe you think maybe you are running to the right direction, and maybe you are going to fall into the ditch. That's why we need to be straight and strong like Christians, because witchcraft, they are there, and this is the way they do. Most of them, they cause problems in Christianity life. They make Christians to be poor for such a kind. They paralyze the family, the head family. They look at the family, maybe like you rely to your dad, and the family, maybe your dad is only one who has a job in maybe in the area. So they make sure your dad, they can send some spirits. We have them, evil spirits, Cosma Genie. They can cause you and your boss maybe to disagree in one way or another, or they make some kind of demonic disease, or some kind of attacks, or some disagreement, or they use some thieves. Maybe they come and hang on you and spoil you, direct you towards death, and so that you feel remorseful, you feel very bad, you feel like you are alone, you feel like there is no God, and then you decide like to join them. But the truth is, when you are a mature Christian and you have people whom you can link on, people whom you can lean on, people who can give you a shoulder to lean on, for sure you will be sustained. But if you didn't have people like I used to, like I was during that my time, you lose your education, you lose your focus, you lose your parents, you lose your Christianity, you lose your tag, and then you become a useless material, and then you become a useful vessel for the devil.
Okay, so you were in this dark period with Muslims and witchcraft and all of this stuff that the devil tries to bring on people. And then there was a turning point in your life when you decided to come back to the Lord, and you went back to the teaching that was given to you when you were a young boy. And so what was that turning point? Was there any one thing that caused you to turn back, or was it a series of events, or was it just a progression? But what was the turning point that made you run back to Jesus?
Okay. I'll start with the one point that made me to backslide, and then it was discouragement made me to backslide, and then number two, that point that made me to come back to Christ. It was after a long time, I was the world man. I was just staying, and it made me a time whereby I started to encourage and talk, to change the minds of we Muslims, I used to be with them. After a long time, we have been working together. I just felt in my spirit explaining for them, encouraging them to, sometimes I want them to avoid to accuse other people. Sometimes I feel like when we have accused somebody, I feel remorsefully, I feel bad. That's when, I think that's when Jesus was ministering to me. So after a while, when I was married, we survived in hardshipness with my wife. And then my wife really, she survived in hardness during her time to get a child, a baby child. So it was like after we have walked around the places, because we stayed for around 2 years without a child. And then we used to walk in witchcraft. We were being directed to the witchcraft places. We went to a witchcraft man, and he showed us some other things, dead cats and dead birds and some evil things which my heart was not ready to accept. So, but because of the situation and the group I was in, it forced me to do it, because my wife was asking me, if you really love me, surely accept and agree with them, because I was a man with a hard heart. But this is what Jesus did to me, because after the witchcraft, he has used our money, has used everything, has promised us to get the baby. We didn't found anything. We didn't see any miracle. In fact, it became to more us. So we started now kneeling down in the house, my wife making prayer. I allowed her to go to church. She joined a friend church. They used to go. After chasing them from my house now, I allowed her to join, but she was just going with fear. So after this is what happened. After that, she came up and received pregnant. So God started to minister to me that now we have chosen the right direction when she was pregnant. And my salvation, now it came up while we were taking I was with my friends somewhere taking alcohol, and then I heard people singing in a certain church. By the way, God used a voice of music of praise and worship to convince me back to Christianity.
Wow, that is very powerful. So God kept reaching out to you. He kept seeking you and convicting you. The Holy Spirit was convicting you even when you were walking in the darkness. And so that's a great lesson for anybody out there, is that God never gives up on you. The scripture says that he will never forsake you. He will never abandon you, and he never gives up on you. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done or what kind of sin you've been trapped in. God does not give up on you. The Holy Spirit will convict you. He will keep pulling at your heart, and he will keep bringing you back to the Lord. He'll keep tugging on you and tugging on you. But you must remember also that God never abandons your free will. He will never not allow you to express your free will. So he doesn't take over you and force you to do anything. He gives you free will to make a choice, so that when you choose to love him, he knows that you really love him.
Sure.
Well, Zephaniah, tell us just a little bit now about your family and about your time and your walk with the Lord, and what it is that you have come to do to serve the Lord now. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, man of God. Okay, so now, after receiving a call, this is the way I received a call. We were seated with my friend, and there we were just taking alcohol in a village, but we were singing local songs, like those our African songs we used to sing, because I like music since I was at school. So we were just singing the local music and encouraging each other when they buy alcohol. But now we were near a certain church, a Pentecostal church, and then I heard them singing a very, very, very unique music of praise and worship. They were thanking God for He's a miracle working God. He's a mighty God. So I heard that voice, and it really touched me. It ministered to me, and I talked to my friends. I told them, let's go to church. So they decided to join me, and they said, why are you telling us to go to church? But three of them, they agreed with me, and they followed me. We had one lady and two men with I. So we left the other group there, but we went, four of us, and then we started dancing because we were drunk. And I found myself dancing, when they stop the music, I feel like they should not stop it. So we used to dance, and they used to keep us in music every time. They were giving us enough time for music in church. So I was really blessed that day, and I asked them if next Sunday they will be playing the same music. And they agree with me. They say, yeah, we'll maintain the music so you can come back. And then they took my contact, and then they called me during that time the music was singing. And I had the music on my phone while we were communicating with the usher who was calling me. Then I went, I failed again to go back because we were in a place we were taking our drugs. So I ran there again the next Sunday. So I found myself there singing in church. Up to now, praise and worship leader. God has ministered to me every time. When I sing, I feel the joy of God. I feel the happiness. I feel the day that the Lord has given to me. Yeah, when I sing the gospel, when I sing the praise, and I sing the gospel, I feel the joy of the Lord, and people enjoy. The people, they really enjoy it because I just tell God, singing me, because you are the one who called me by music.
Well, praise the Lord. I've heard Zephaniah, as he praises the Lord, as he leads his worship team at his church. He has a team here in Mumias at a local church that he's the praise and worship leader, and so he's doing a great job in that. And also, he has a calling other than being a worship leader, and yeah, he feels like God has called him to minister in a certain way. And so, Zephaniah, do you want to tell us about what you believe your highest calling is?
Yes. Thank you, man of God. So this is the main call that Jesus called me for, because the first thing when I heard the music, the Holy Spirit of God encouraged me not to go alone. So I decided to call my friends, and in the group of around 20 people, four of them accepted and they followed me directly to the church. So I just felt good, and the next Sunday when I called them and then they came, three of them responded, and then I feel well. I feel I was very satisfied. So from there, now I started to become a disciple. I learned. They put me down. I learned everything. Now up to date, I feel good when I do evangelism, the work of God, to evangelize for the lost sheep, to look for the lost sheep, those who don't have an appetite to go in the things of God. I feel good when I talk to them. I direct them to the things of God. I invite them to church. I give to pastors so that they can minister for them. I feel good. So my calling is evangelist. God has called me as an evangelist. Many people, they misuse me. They call me pastor, but that's not my calling. The calling that God has given me, I minister, but though I am an evangelist, because I look for the sheep and bring them together, and I want pastor to preach for them so that they can take care of them. That's my calling.
Okay, well, that's a very high calling, my brother, and I'm sure God is going to use you in great ways in the days to come, and ways that you can't even imagine for yourself. Yeah. And you know, the scripture says that the harvest is plentiful, but that the workers are few. And yes, so as we look about the harvest here in Africa, there are many, many people who don't know the Lord Jesus. There are many people that are trapped in Islam, trapped in witchcraft, trapped in other kinds of pagan religions and worship. Yes. And so the harvest is plentiful. And Jesus said, beseech the Lord of the harvest, or pray the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth workers into the harvest. And so I praise God for my brother here, Zephaniah, who's out into the harvest field. And there's a billion people nearly in Africa. Yes. Many, many are Christians. Many know the Lord, but there's many who don't. Yes. And so we want to go out there, and we want to bring those lost people Amen. In. Amen. And so his testimony is powerful. It's a testimony of God's love. Yes. It's a testimony of God's redemption. God never gave up on him. Amen. And so, my brother, I thank you for your testimony. I thank you for your service.
Thank you, too.
And I thank you for your love for Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you, my brother. Thank you very much for this invitation. Thank you for the work of God that God has given to you. Thank you for the heart of people. We are now the that's why God brought us together, the birds of same feather flocks together, and you are elder brother, because God has used you mightily, and I believe from the anointing I respect, the anointing I become, and I know that God has something he wants to give to me from you, because you are a man of God from far, and God has brought you to this nation. And I feel good when you are okay. I feel good when you minister. I feel good when the duties that God has given you, when they perform well. I just feel good. I appreciate God for you. I appreciate God for your family. I appreciate those who are under your shield. And I know as I walk with you, God is going to do something. God is going to change something. Be blessed.
Amen. Well, thank you. Well, you heard the testimony and how powerful it is when somebody comes to know the Lord and they are happy that they are serving the Lord. There's a peace that comes in their life. There's a joy that comes in their life. And you can't have that joy from the world. It comes from knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Yes. And so I invite you out there today, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, yes, that you would do that. Get down on your knees and mm-hmm. pray to Him and just ask the Lord to come in and cleanse your heart and to wash your sins away and to renew you, to restore you, and all things will be new. Behold, the old man is washed away, and the new man has come. And so yes, I invite you to do that. If you make that kind of decision today, yes, let me know. Drop me an email, purepurari@hotmail.com, and we'll get a book into your hand and some other teaching material. And we thank you for listening today. Stay tuned for contact information. We'd love to hear from you. We'd like to have you sit down and write out a check and send it to Gather the Outcast, that we can continue this great work that is going on in Africa. Yes. Thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.
Amen.
Amen.